like we do it.
Hey, hey, it's the Pretty Corrupt Podcast, your inside guide to celebrity scandals and the reality of reality TV. I'm Jordan Ross Myers, the man behind Twitter's notorious Don Gunvalson and Lee Rodswell. Along with my co-hosts, Stacey Noel Connor and Nate Safer, welcome to PCP's Bravo Breakdown. Hey, hey, happy post-Thanksgiving.
Hello.
I don't know if I could talk. I've eaten so much.
Actually haven't.
I'm that actually weird person who came away from Thanksgiving saying I didn't eat enough. I legit was hungry afterwards.
I actually didn't eat as much either. Like, I was like, okay, this is perfect. I didn't overeat, which I was proud of myself, but then kind of disappointed too.
I technically didn't overeat on Thanksgiving because it was about 2 a.m. Friday morning when I woke up in the middle of the night hungry and gave in to like leftovers. So that's actually, it was Black Friday binging, not Thanksgiving. So it doesn't count. Middle of the night eating doesn't count.
No.
Did you make yourself a moist maker sandwich like Ross on Friends?
I think I was eating a tray of my garlic cheddar green onion mashed potatoes.
That sounds incredible.
Cold. I don't know if I used the proper spoon, but it may have been a dream because I never looked back. So
you just woke up with a casserole dish on your chest and a spoon sitting in there, and you're just like covered in carbs.
My motto in life is, you can't blame me for what I can't remember. So I choose to not remember a lot of things, and therefore it's none of my business. But
I was kind of getting the Kyle treatment, where I was walking around with my Cherry Coke Zero, because that's my drink now, and I got a lot of people being like, you're not drinking. So it wasn't. It was like, is that my reputation? I guess I don't know. I guess I used to be fun. I'm sorry. I'm just going to walk around with my Cherry Coke Zero and I'll be on my way.
I mean, I think you have enough fun lushes in your family that to like keep everybody entertained.
That's the problem.
Entertained. So
that's the problem. Yeah. I didn't need to be center stage on Thursday night. There was plenty of stars.
I mean, especially your nieces and nephew or nephews and niece. There we go.
Two nephews and a niece. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll get them internet famous soon.
Just one of them. Only one of them needs to be internet famous. The other two, like they've already got the you know, confidence of mediocre white males, you know. So just the girl. She's the only one that needs internet fame.
Well, where do you think they got that from? The mediocre white man confidence. That's hereditary. that comes from the safer bloodline right there.
Speaking of chasing fame, not drinking, and a need for Ozempic, I guess we should talk about Beverly Hills.
Let's do it.
What else is there to talk about? I mean, what a surprise for our audience.
We never talk about Beverly Hills. Exactly.
I think we didn't talk about them. No.
No, I totally don't watch it every Sunday morning and take notes. I have notes. That's how little I care about that show.
That's amazing, because I watched it days ago during my break, and I've forgotten most of it. So I appreciate that.
I take notes because it's harder for me to follow since I jumped in this season. So like, you know, I'm taking like silly notes about like which of the housewives tend to be allies with each other. Like they always, you know, they keep pairing like Dorit and Kyle and Garcelle and Sutton. You know, they keep pairing them like ones they assume are, like you said last week, they're not necessarily friends in real life, but they certainly, certain pairs seem like friends on the show, and I want to keep all my facts straight. I don't want to sound like an idiot on this.
That's okay. I'll do that all the
time. Late?
It's all right.
Too late. Yeah.
Well, where do we begin with Beverly Hills? I did have a lot of thoughts. I rewatched it today, so it would be fresh in my head. I guess out of sequence, I have to say. So Denise pops up. Denise pops up at the movie screening and she fell right into the trap. She walked in a hoodie and a bun, and I was just like, ragamuffin. We haven't seen you in 3 seasons since Kyle called her a ragamuffin and everyone else is dressed to the nines. Kyle and her new $16,000 Hermes Kelly, everyone is dressed to the nines. And then the former Mrs. Sheen kind of shows up late, hasn't washed her hair. It's a Celine hoodie, so I don't know the price, but very expensive, I'm sure. The point is, you know, she rolled out of Target or she's doing this to troll us.
That's what I like about Denise, though. She don't give a fuck. Like, she was like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I know that I'm going to go there. I'm going to show up. Yeah. I'm going to be on camera. I'm going to show up unmiked. I'm going to, you know, do the whole mismatch of styles of streetwear and expensive. And I don't care.
Well, she's technically not unmiked because she's going to appear throughout the season.
Well, at that moment, she was unmiked, though. Which means
there were
she didn't go through the whole thing. Like,
She could have done, especially too, for Garcelle. It was her her real life friend, Garcelle's big moment. She could have, like.
That's, again, that's Denise. I just kind of go, that's Denise. And I think Denise, you know, she tried her second season and it backfired. Granted, she also did some other stuff that backfired that I didn't agree with, but that backfired. But I think she just was like, F it. I'm just going to be myself. I don't care. Like, no matter what, I'm just going to be myself.
Yeah. I don't really know why she came back, but I guess, well, maybe she needs the money. I mean, it's going to get good. That's the weed dinner, right? We'll see. But that was my first fun thought. I don't know. What else happens? I guess Sutton and Kyle are the big.
Well, hey, Sutton and Santos. Sutton met her horse. Right,
her soulmate.
That was a big moment. Her soulmate that she I mean, obviously, you can't tell how long, you know, how much time elapses when they're at certain places, but it seemed like she showed up. First, she showed up to the stable complaining about the road conditions. Like, she made a joke about having to use her all-wheel drive. Then she shows up, gives the flower wreath to her horse, feeds it a carrot, which it immediately threw up, which I thought was funny.
Oh, dude. It has an eating disorder. It fits right in.
I don't know enough about horses to know if the vomiting was totally normal immediately after eating, but it was very funny. And then she just excused herself and she and Jennifer Tilly had lunch. Like, that was the extent of her Santos relationship.
And drinks.
Just
wanted to point out. Drinks.
And I think you're totally right, which you mentioned earlier, like a few episodes back, where you think they're like just trying to push Jennifer Tilly on you, like just make her, because there was no need for her to be there. Like, she didn't serve any function.
Yeah.
My takeaway from it is that she blinks an absurd amount. If you go back and watch that lunch, she's just blinking constantly and it was distracting.
I'll definitely have to go back and watch
it. Yeah. I was also distracted by that jacket she wore. That too, it was like straight up, like, it took me back to my childhood, like late 80s, early 90s mom style. It was this denim jacket with giant bright colored faux jewels, like bejeweled, like you could get something off an infomercial, like a gun to place your plastic jewels all over. And I was like, wow, that's a throwback. But yeah, I have a lot of thoughts on Sutton lately.
I do too. Somehow my love for her grows even more. I was getting angry at Kyle for how shitty Kyle was treating her, even though she really wasn't in the grand scheme. I'm just Team Sutton, so of course I'm going to think she's treating her terribly. Yes. Like the shade when she said, when Sutton was having the heart-to-heart at the screening and said, like, she's like, I'm like a little sister to you. And Kyle was like, don't flatter yourself. You're not a little sister to me. Ouch.
I know where that's coming from. And it's because on the show from day one, other women have tried inserting themselves in the famous sisterhood. Rinna did it. Vanderpump. Someone almost every cycle of friendships on the show and casting becomes part of the dynamics. You know, you had Brandy for a while, being very supportive of Kim. You had Vanderpump stuck between Kathy and Kyle. You had Rinna trying to play and drag down Kim. So I think what Kyle was doing was setting a boundary with her. Like, don't flatter yourself. That is You know, and also I think part of it has to do with the fact, this is kind of mean, but she's like, you treat me like your little sister. And it took me a minute too to realize Seton's slightly younger than Kyle.
I was wondering that. I could have taken the 30 seconds to Google it, but I was like, ah, she's younger? Huh.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I honestly wouldn't even have known.
Yeah, it didn't like, it's not like I think Seton's like a much older lady, but it doesn't register for me that she's younger than Kyle, especially because Kyle's always the little sister.
I was going to ask, she is the youngest of the sisters.
And that's kind of the point, is that I feel like Kyle, she identifies as the little sister, as always being the little sister. She's the baby. She's the youngest. She's the most precious in that sense of like, she can kind of get away with stuff as like a younger child. I mean, as the oldest, I freaking hate that bullshit. So, but you know, that's like, you know, but that's, so if she wouldn't, I don't think she would take too kindly for somebody acting like, or saying that she's going to be in like an older sister. Like Lisa Vanderpump was trying to be like an older sister to Kyle. But that was taken a little bit better, especially at times when she was not having a good relationship with Kathy. Whereas she's not going to accept anybody being quote unquote younger than her, like being a younger sister. Absolutely not. She's the younger sister.
Yeah.
That's how she identifies. She's never going to be an older sister to anybody. So.
Yeah. She could have said, like, you talk down to me like a little kid or something. But I think using sister, it's a trigger because in the history of the show, these women who are trying to be center stage of the cast latch on to the complicated sister dynamics and insert themselves in, which is kind of what Seton was going for. A minute later, she brought up Kathy, and I was like, oh, that's exactly why Kyle probably...
But I find that interesting, like, that Sun brought it up on her own, not having seen like Kyle's confessionals, and said, I think that Kyle is jealous that I am close with Kathy. You know what I mean? And like that I go to Kathy's parties and stuff like that. She basically called her out. Like Sun sees what's going on here. She knows Kyle's game. She knows like what's going on.
But she's
here.
Also trying to play into it. I don't know.
Harness it for whatever she needs.
Yeah. It is good because, I mean, it is good for Seton. She's coming in like guns blazing this season because she's always had kind of slightly friend of energy, and now she is center stage. And I have heard that she says to some people that it's her show.
Oh, God.
She's the star. This is recently.
She needs to stop that now.
Excuse me. She is the star. She is.
You're just trying to get a pony ride with Santos.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah. He's trying to lock down that prenup. Come on.
A cut of that $300,000 a month. No, but I really, though, I have heard that she, you know, maybe after a few drinks or whatever, she brags that, like, especially this season now, it's her show and she's the star. And I was like, when I was rewatching that scene, having known that she says that kind of stuff, and watching her slither her way into the Hilton Richards sisterhood, I was like, oh, you're a monster. A little Camille. She's a little Camille. She's very Camille Grammer right now, with a little bit of maybe she watched Rinna. Because Camille never really went for the sisterhood.
Mm-hmm. No.
Rinna did.
Yeah, that's true. But also, let's like not forget, like Rinna did have a sister who passed away. So in that sense, like I can see why Rinna would want to do that, because she misses her sister. Does that make like it's probably not a conscious thing? It's very like Freudian, you know what I mean? But it's like Rinna had a sister. She lost a sister. She sees these sisters and a sister who's like her older sister. And it's like, can I right the wrongs that didn't happen in my own relationships and stuff like that? My armchair psychologist is going off right now. That'll be $100.
Yeah. What else happened this episode? I mean, Sutton's what really caught the Seton Kyle dynamic.
Has Erica's mom been on a lot? Is she just a character that actually has come and gone over the years? Or that, I mean, again, because I've not seen anything prior to this, so I don't know anything about their relationship, but I did love the Erica confessional where she said, "My mom and I are close in age," which I thought was very funny.
That was funny.
Yeah.
That was funny.
I mean, she has zingers.
This episode actually made me like Erica a little bit more, like soften up on her. Because in these moments, like just stuck with her mom and going over stuff, it wasn't so dramatic. She wasn't playing Erica Jane. She was like down and out Erica Girardi. And I was like, huh.
I know her mother's been on once when when Erica was in Georgia visiting. There was that, she was on that episode. Maybe she was on one more time, but I can't remember. But that's the only time I remember seeing her mom was in that episode. Erica's in Georgia.
I did read Erica's book and don't think I gave her any money. I sat in Target for an afternoon one day just skimming it. But so
I'm sure that didn't creep out the staff at all.
Anything to save a buck, but
he went over to the female reproductive care aisle to read it in too. That's exactly, it's normal.
And I imagine literally a buck. I imagine that book was marked down considerably.
like her Vegas.
Yes. Yes.
But so I was trying to, because you brought up how many times has she been on, and I feel like I'm more familiar with Erica's mom. But now that you pointed out, Stacey, she's only been on like once, maybe twice. I think it's from the book. But
I think that's, a particularly drama-filled episode.
No.
This was more of a filler episode. Or, you know, a setting up for other stuff.
Yeah, I guess it, like you said, it was more of a filler episode for Beverly Hills. I know we had a little, we've been having a debate today because Stacey says that Real Housewives of Miami is superior this season.
Yes.
And that's like a knife to my heart.
Yeah.
She watches it more than I do.
I mean, I watch it, I think. You don't watch it, I don't believe. Like, you don't watch it at all. I watch it, so. In fact, I watch all the Housewives shows. I watch all of them. Although I did not finish Atlanta this past season just because it just really went off the rails. But I will eventually finish Atlanta. But anyway, but I watch all of them. So, but yeah, Miami is just on fire. It was on fire last season. It's on fire this season. I mean, it's also been on fire on Instagram in the comments section, because I don't know if y'all saw it, and I did a TikTok on my own TikTok and also on my IG that so Lenny basically has Page Six. Lenny Hochstein, who is Lisa Hochstein's soon to be ex-husband, he has Page Six. He's got Page Six ear. So he's done stories for Page Six about Lisa and about her boyfriend, Jody. And so there was another story about Jody implying that Jody dumped his ex-fiance for Lisa just weeks before he was going to get married, which they say, which Jody's like, no, that's bullshit. My relationship was on and off, and that had already ended before I met Lisa. And then I met Lisa, but that relationship was already over. And she was just living in my place. I was not living there until I could get my ex-fiance a new place to live and stuff like that. Whatever, blah, blah, blah. End of relationships are messy and complicated. I don't know. But basically, the comment section was just them airing out their dirty laundry all about this relationship. And it was like Jody, Lenny, Lisa, Lisa, Lenny, Lisa, Lenny, Lisa, Lenny, Jody, 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 Lisa, Lenny, Lisa, Lenny. It was just back and forth like crazy. And then, of course, then you've got the normies, you know, getting in there too and like saying stuff. But for the most part, it was, you couldn't write this drama. It was amazing. Just like last season, honestly, you could not write the hot mic moment where Lenny admitted on a mic at his party at his own house that he was leaving his wife, that he was leaving Lisa. Like, it was a hot, yeah. It was a beautiful hot mic moment. It was sad, but it was like, mm-hmm. we actually got that. It wasn't just talked about, that was there. So, and you know, we're dealing with this a lot this season with trying to get divorced and like working out settlements and stuff like that with between Lisa and Lenny. And it's just, obviously it's still going on. It's just dirty. It's just nasty and it's disgusting. But so, also like, this is, it's a very interesting season because you've got Gertie who's dealing with cancer, breast cancer. You've got Julia and her wife, Martina Navratilova, and Martina's recovering from two different types of cancer. And then you have freaking, as we talked about last week, Larsa. Oh my God, with freaking Michael Jordan's son.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry to interrupt. Circle back to Beverly Hills. Larsa made a cameo at Garcelle's movie screening.
She did. Yeah. Because of course she did. That was fun. Of course she did.
She has a place out here, I think, kind of by Kyle, like in Encino or something like that. When she, it's from the days when she was
with the Kardashians.
She may have rented it out or sold it. Is when she was out here chasing the Kardashians.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. She was chasing the Kardashians. So. Now she's back to chasing NBA players and or NBA money, at least, yeah. Not players, but money. But then you have Alexia and her husband Todd, who I've decided I don't like Todd. I think Todd is messy. He's not a good messy house husband. Like, as I said, I love a house husband. I love a house husband that gets into the like the drama and stuff like that. But like that first episode of the season when Alexia has this like, you know, this New Horizons party and she invites everybody and Todd is like, I'll be there, baby. I'm there for you. And then he doesn't come to that party and he says he's not coming because he doesn't want to be around certain people. And then he literally, that certain person is supposed to be Adriana. And then he apparently lies to Adriana's face and tells her that no, she's not the reason that he doesn't want to be there. And he says to her that he implies to Adriana that there are issues in their marriage. And then to Alexia, he's not implying that. Also, last episode too. Oh my God, I can't remember it because it just came back to me. Anybody listening who watched Miami, when she and Todd were at dinner and he's like, quote unquote, apologizing, but he's not apologizing. He's basically saying, I don't care. I didn't want to be there. So I wasn't going to show up and I'm always there for you and you're there for me. And this was just one time, which is not his bullshit. He basically implied something about like basically golden showers. He's like, I'd rather you pee on me. And ooh. She was like, and I was like, is anybody else a little like, what? Excuse me? Like, it seemed so weird. It was like, and it didn't, her reaction wasn't like, oh, that's just gross. Or like, ha ha. It was very much of like a, don't talk about that type of thing. You know what I mean? Like, I was just like, the energy was weird. And so he has this weird energy about him. He's got a very combative energy. I don't like it at all. Like, I really like Marisol's husband's great.
Todd reminds me a little bit of Louis, but it's also because the people are always drawing parallels between Alexa and Teresa. Yeah. And then I see these comments where there are people question their husbands and I could see it.
Yeah.
I've watched some and I don't. Yeah. Todd doesn't, I mean, he's like is he a lawyer? What does he do?
I don't know. He's an asshole is what he is. Like he just like, honestly, he says really mean things. He's a lot of flash. And he also says really mean things under the guise of, I'm just being honest. No, you're not. You're being an asshole. Like we can say real things and we can say honest things without being mean. No, you're just an asshole. Like, Nicole's husband, whose name I can't remember right now. He's a nice, messy. Anthony. He's a good house husband. Like I like him. Like he kind of gets in the drama too, but he's got a good head about him and he doesn't say mean things necessarily about, I mean, he said some shady stuff, But he also has apologized for things, and I don't see him as like mean, and he's also not mean to Nicole, and he's not like outwardly mean to any of the other people. You know, he's a gossip. That's what I like. I like a gossipy house husband. He's gossipy.
You know, in Spanish, it's chisme.
Oh yeah.
I think is the word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Gossip.
Yeah. But Todd is not like that. Todd is just mean. And so now I'm just like, I was happy that Alexia had found love and stuff like that. But then it was the fight last year with her eldest son. And I was just like, this is very uncomfortable the way that you're talking to him. I don't think I like this. And then this season already so far, I was just like, no, I don't like this. And I think Alexia is just, she's putting up with it because she doesn't want to be alone. Like, in all honesty.
Oh, one thing that caught my eye with this thing with the page six story and the fight with on Instagram with Lenny and Lisa Hochstein and Jody is it came out that she, basically they split her rent. It's $32,000 a month for her penthouse. Lenny pays $17,000 in support. And Jody pays $15,000. And this is, I think that's great for her. I think it's wonderful that she has two hustles. Mm-hmm. And so I saw online on Twitter someone upset about it and saying, this is an example of why you should treat your daughters to be independent. And I was like, she's doing pretty well. It's like independence is in the eye of the beholder, and I don't judge her for it. If it works for her, I think it's, it's the Lee Radswell in me.
Yeah.
I was like, bravo.
The entertainment side of me agrees with you. The feminist side in me does not agree with that poster. Because I also go, she wouldn't be freaking out this much if she had, you know, a job or a career or something to fall back on. I think she was like a bottle service girl or something like that when in Vegas when she met Lenny. And but at the same time, this is what I'll say is never trust a man who just says he's just going to come along and take care of you. You know, just you can't trust that because then it's a gilded cage because they want you to be who they want you to be. And as minute you start being not that, no, you're done.
I'm hoping she'll expand. Like, so now she has a main job, a side house. Oh, she also has housewives.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good income. I think she should just start. I wonder what else she could get to. Mm-hmm.
Like, that's why, like,
how many other guys she could juggle.
Yeah.
I like how they're openly, though, dividing the rent.
Yeah.
It's like literally an arrangement between the two guys.
It's funny because this past episode, Nicole talked about that because they were looking, her and her husband or fiance were looking at boats, yachts, another yacht to buy or whatever because they've got a lot of money. But basically, she was feeling for Lisa and everything. But she goes, you know, this is the thing is that I have something to fall back on. Like we could break up and he could take all the money. And yes, I would hate to lose my house and I would hate to lose all these nice things, but I got a job and I make plenty of money and I would be okay. Like, and I can rebuild that. And she's like, and I have done that before because she had been married before and she got divorced. So she's like, you know, it's okay. And I think there's a nice like comfort in that.
There is. I do want to look into it. I'm not throwing anything out there now because I don't know enough, but I do have a lot of questions about Nicole and Anthony and their money.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit.
Well, he's what?
It's a little bit. They have.
He's an insurance lawyer in Florida. Well, I mean, but insurance costs a lot there. We'll think about that.
Yeah, but I just mean it's like, they're buying and selling $50 million homes. Mm-hmm. They're upgrading from one yacht to a $9 million yacht. It's just something we've seen on many housewives over the years. Yeah. And for me, it raises a red flag. But it's something I have to look into. I don't have any answer. It's just, hopefully we'll dig up a new scandal.
Do your due diligence. Come on, get on it, Inspector Myers.
I can't wait to enjoy this season in like 4 or 5 years when I finally get around to it. I'll make notes now, though, just so, you know, we'll circle back in 5 years. See, I'll let you know.
Oh, wait, real quick. Speaking of women who I find delightfully independent and others may not, my sweet princess Tinsley. She tied the knot. Yep. She found yet another man to take care of her. Mm-hmm. Mazel tov.
But she found one with children, so she has children to take care of, which I think is actually really sweet. Yeah. I think it's actually perfect for her because she gets to be a mom. She gets to be a stepmom to looks like some great, some really cute kids. So
she has two little girls now. So it's a stepson and then two twin girls. Mm-hmm. And I think she, not just that they're girls, they're twins. Can you imagine? She's going to do, and I mean this in a cute, nice way. She is going to do to those little girls like dolls what Dale did to her and her sister.
Yeah.
They're going to have the frilliest little matching outfits.
Well, and it's perfect because they're in Savannah, Georgia. So it's going to work out great because that's the town to do it in too. So there you go.
Oh, Augusta.
Augusta, sorry. They're close.
Yeah.
I mean, relatively.
Yeah. Augusta's where those, that's where Sutton's from, but it's where that, the national, what's it called?
The Masters.
Masters. Mm-hmm. Isn't it called the US Open? So, I mean, it's very preppy, very happy for her.
It was kind of sweet that she incorporated her husband's a widow. And they incorporated like the wife's favorite gemstones into their wedding, which was kind of neat. Like emerald was her gemstone. So not only was Tinsley's engagement ring was emerald, but in the wedding, the flower girls who were the twins, they wore emerald sashes. Tinsley wore emerald shoes, and the husband and his son, who was the ring bearer, wore emerald ties. So that was kind of cool, like a cool nod to the ex-wife.
Yeah.
Deceased wife.
Yeah. The late mother of the children.
The late wife, yes.
Yeah, they did get married in Palm Beach. The Town and Country write-up about it just said a private club. They didn't specify the private club. I don't know if New York Times did. But I did my due diligence. And I compared the columns in the ballroom to the columns
at Mar-a-Lago,
somewhere else.
The architectural details in other clubs, and it was not that club, in case you were wondering. Okay. It was not. Okay. A lot of architecture in Palm Beach is very similar. It's that kind of Spanish, it was not, but the fact that they wouldn't say which club made me.
Yeah, no, it picked my interest when I read that, Palm Beach Club. I was like, oh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no. I went through the reception photos, and I was looking at the details. So, Tinsley's safe.
Okay. Okay, good.
Well, on that note, hope you guys were able to get some Black Friday deals on Ozempic because Thanksgiving binging ended and Christmas holiday spite photos are coming up. So once again, please make our Santa's dream, our Santa wish list come true and rate, subscribe, follow, and review a Pretty Corrupt Podcast. Share with your friends, enemies, etc., the elves in your gift shop and gift wrapping rooms. And also, of course, don't forget we're two episodes now. This is Bravo Breakdown. We also have PCP Pop Culture. See you on the next episode. Like we do it, 'cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it.